So we're coming to our last lesson tonight in our series on the family and dusty reality. But we've got the other 13 parts are up on the website, faithfulinourdays.org. So if you want to go back and look at any of those, they're now available on the web as well. You can make that known to others who might be interested. So tonight we're going to look at the idea of liberty. And we started the series off by talking about the goal of our existence and focusing it down to our family, but the goal of our existence, why we exist. And we saw that God's rule and dominion, His name may be glorified, that His rule may be manifested in all areas of life. So it was God's dominion mandate that God be glorified. And the way God is glorified is that all things are brought into captivity or brought captive to the obedience of Christ, brought into submission to Him. That's how God is glorified. And that's really what we mean when we say about God's dominion, which He talked about in Genesis. So God is exalted when His rule is exercised over all areas of life. Obedience and conformity to His will. That's how He is glorified, when people bow their hearts to Him and do His will. Now we, by God's grace, are being transformed into the image of His Son. And the ultimate goal for us, according to Romans 8 and verse 21, is to attain to the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's where we're heading, to attain that glorious liberty that God has ordained for His sons. And what will that liberty look like when we attain that? What would be in the bottom of your heart, that liberty that you'd look forward to attaining, that glorious liberty of the sons of God, the most wonderful thing you could imagine attaining? What is that? How about no more sinning? To arrive at that position where there's no more sin. Now what is sin? Sin is disobedience to God's will. So what is true liberty? Obedience, doing His will, doing everything God has said. That is true liberty, you see, and that's how we are to understand this term liberty. When we talk about liberty, we say, okay, I know what liberty is. There's many ideas of liberty in the world today, but liberty is doing God's will, doing everything in accordance with God's word. So liberty and freedom can be used synonymously in this context. To be freed from the dominion of sin is to have liberty. It is to be truly free. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And as we saw last time when looking at sanctification, Jesus' prayer for His disciples was that God would sanctify them through His truth, and then He defined His truth as the Word of God. So sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your Word is that truth. John 17:17. Thus sanctification is defined by God's Word as well. So we save by the grace and the mercy of God when He, according to His sovereign mercy, delivers us from bondage to sin and corruption. But that is not the end of His work for us. Once He delivers us from this bondage and corruption, that's not the end of it. We're then saved unto a life of obedience for His glory. We are saved so that we can do His whole will, that we can manifest His glorious wisdom and name by doing what He said. So when you think about freedom and liberty in any area of life, we must think God's will. What is liberty in this particular area? Immediately, when you're trying to define liberty in a particular area, your starting place is liberty would be God's will. Therefore, what has God said about that area? How has He shown what His will would be in that area? What would it look like? Because when we attain that, then that's liberty. That's how liberty is manifested. Thus, duty as defined by God's word does not contradict the liberty we have in Christ. Sometimes people somehow feel as soon as you've got duty in there or God's stipulations, that contradicts liberty, freedom. I'm free in Christ, yeah. Free to do what? Free to do His will. We've been released from the bondage of sin so that we can do His will. So now I have this liberty and freedom to do God's will. But that's how we must think when we talk defining liberty. Duty is synonymous with liberty and freedom in God's kingdom. We were saved to serve. But how do we know what the service looks like? Okay, we're saved to serve Christ. Now, if we just had to go around and say, well, you just tell me what you think from the top of your head, what service of Christ looks like. We could come up with a whole pile of different ideas, and not all of them would necessarily be biblical. But all that we have discussed in the series has as its goal or as its end true liberty. And it's important that we keep this in the forefront of our eyes when we are seeking to apply God's truth to our family context. The whole of God's will is summarized in His Decalogue, in the Ten Commandments. He summarizes it all there. The rest of the Bible, for the most part, is a commentary on that. How it's applied, what it looks like in the life of people. This is what it looks like. This is what my will looks like in your day-to-day living. What it means and how it's applied to the dusty reality of our lives. So God's law and liberty must not be separated in our thinking, because His word ties them together. James chapter 1 exhorts that we should be doers of God's word and not only hearers deceiving ourselves. In verse 22, he continues and he says in verse 25 of chapter 1, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," what's he talking about there? The word of God. he looks into this perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, James is not talking there about how you earn salvation. He's talking about the saved person, how he lives his life. He looks into the glorious, perfect law of liberty, and as he beholds that, he then continues in that way, and that is liberty, to walk and follow what the Lord has revealed. That is liberty. You see, James calls God's word the perfect law of liberty. Jesus said in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So there you see, liberty, freedom, love, they're all tied into this idea of obedience in doing God's will. Now, we're not doing God's will to earn our salvation and security. We're doing it because he has called us unto this end. This is why he has called us. This is why he has saved us, so that we might do his will, so that we might glorify his name. The love and obedience, or love and doing God's law word, are not to be separated in our thinking either, because keeping the law and walking in liberty are tied together. So the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verses 44 and 45, so shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I'm going to do your will, I'm going to keep it, your law continually. I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts. You see the connection? That was Psalm 119, verses 44 and 45. Freedom and liberty are tied to the way we live, to the things we do. In the same way, God's kingdom is a way of life. See, freedom and liberty, when we think freedom and liberty, we must think it's talking action. Liberty isn't something that's floating out there. Liberty is what we do. We're either acting in bondage or we're acting in freedom and liberty. In the same way, the kingdom of heaven, people say, what is the kingdom? You talk about the kingdom, what is the kingdom? Simply, the kingdom is a way of life, lived in the power of God by his grace, but it's a manifestation of his rule. So I live how God has said, that's the kingdom. When I do the things that the kingdom proclaim, blessed are the peacemakers, when I live in such a way, I'm manifesting the kingdom of God. So when we do these things, we are showing forth God's kingdom. To manifest the character of the kingdom is the kingdom. That is the kingdom. You're not, where's the kingdom? Jesus said, the kingdom's in the midst of you. How so? When we manifest his truth, that's the kingdom. We're looking for this kingdom. Everyone's got their eyes raised and they're waiting for something to flash in the sky. But the kingdom is in our midst. And liberty is the same manifestation as well. What is liberty? Liberty is living. Living how? In accordance with God's word. Now, everyone wants liberty and freedom. I don't think there's a person on this planet who doesn't want liberty and freedom, or talk about liberty and freedom and tell us what it means. But the truth is, they don't know what it looks like in reality. And some people who loudly proclaim that they are pursuing liberty are actually held in deep bondage. How is it possible to know whether what you are doing in any particular area, how do you know that you're actually living in liberty or whether you're in bondage? How is it possible to know? Tradition. But there's still a better one than that. And that's the majority's opinion. The latest poll is going to give you the final word on that. Okay, so feelings, traditions, majority, whatever, those are all irrelevant. They cannot show us. The majority, I think, are universally always wrong. Now, Lord willing, in the future, they will come more on track. But at the moment, that's a rule of thumb, is the majority are usually wrong. Because the majority usually are in rebellion against God and his truth and not willing to submit to it. So how do you know whether your family's activities or actions are demonstrating liberty or bondage? It's only scripture. Only scripture. Is my plot and the path I've plotted for my family, is it in accordance with God's word? Because if it is, then that is liberty. We're living liberty. We're manifesting liberty. If it's not, we're in bondage. So how do we know what path we are on? Because the world's definition of freedom and liberty says one ought to be delivered from the constraints and externals, anything external to oneself. Those just feel oppressive to me. As soon as you bring this external constraint, I feel claustrophobic, so that can't be liberty. The world basically wants to be a law unto themselves. And self is the ideal. When we allow our children to be a law unto themselves and don't hold them accountable to God's revealed standard for all things, we're not leading them down a path of liberty. Their lawless existence might appear to be one of freedom according to the modern notion of carefree abandon to self, but it's really bondage. We're putting them on a path of bondage and we're strengthening them in this bondage, and they're going to manifest more and more this bondage situation. So as James said, it's not the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word that experience true liberty. Freedom has to do with living in obedience to God's word. When we're not living in submission to God's will, and when our families are not, we are in bondage and we're training them in bondage. We're training them to be slaves. we don't bring our families into line with the truth, we're raising a generation of slaves. When families fail to assume their God-given responsibility to train in the way of true liberty, it's not long before the nation finds itself in bondage to tyranny. Natural progression. When the family fails to teach responsibility and obedience to God's word, it's producing an irresponsible and dependent generation. That is, a generation that will be enticed by the promise of cradle-to-grave security by a magnanimous state that cares for their every need, ever seeking something for nothing. When we haven't trained, according to the Bible, we've trained slaves who are there for the free lunch. They're there for everything that is thrown at them. And when you've got a people who says, I really don't want anything free. They've been trained to assume their own responsibility. In that sense, they've trained a free people who love liberty and understand liberty. Because I think probably most Americans today who are waiting for the big handouts to come, they're at the same time championing liberty, looking at Lady Liberty and saying, wow, this is a picture of our nation and our heritage, and we love this, and this is the greatest thing. And yet, at the same time, they're embracing bondage because they don't understand what liberty looks like, because they've forsaken the word, the only basis to show them what liberty looks like. There's inescapable connection between the disintegration of God's most basic building block of society, which is the family. The most basic building block of society is the family. When that disintegrates, the nation starts down that slope. But there's an inescapable connection between that disintegration and then the nation's disintegration. When we have a nation in decline, where do we start to fix it? Obviously the president, eh? Families. Got to go back. We've broken these bricks. We've got this beautiful structure that we thought we had, and all the little bricks that make it up are crumbling. So we don't go and put on a whole new golden dome. We need to build the bricks. Shouldn't have a golden dome anyway, but so the basic building block is the family, and we need to focus on that. When we grasp this, we'll realize how vital our responsibility is in making sure we train and teach our families correctly. The energy and focus required to do this properly is time well spent when we realize that liberty is nurtured and grown in the home. And if it's not being matured there, there will never be lasting liberty in any nation. As soon as the family starts to disintegrate, as soon as the fathers fail in their responsibilities, that nation's death warrant has been signed. And then you're just going to see it. It's going to take some time as it progressively works down, but that's the path that it is upon. Family is God's boot camp for sustainable liberty. That is God's definition of the family, not artificial family, so-called family units or ideas like the extremely dangerous idea that's treated today as absolute inescapable truth. I don't know how many times I've seen it in places. You walk in and a statement is written there as if it's absolute truth, unquestioned. It takes a village to raise a child. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because it's getting your focus away from who is responsible, where the authority lies, where the responsibility lies, and it's turning it out to this nebulous village. Where's the village? Define the village. Who has what authority, where and when and how? It takes a village to raise a child. But that's in the mindset of people. And therefore, as soon as somebody else takes your responsibility, you sit back and say, oh great, now I can play. I can goof out. I don't have this heavy responsibility to take care of it. And if it fails, you know, I can blame everybody else as well. God has ordained that it be godly family units that raise children for true liberty. When fathers are distracted from this calling, the seeds of the family's destruction have been sown, along with the seeds of the nation's disintegration. People who get emotional when they hear the Star-Spangled Banner being played, though are indifferent to their child's disobedience, know nothing about true liberty. I feel so emotional when those words are sung and I think back on what it means and what people have stood for. And there my children are running around, tearing around the walls. You don't understand liberty. There's a disconnect between your emotions and the reality of what's taking place. You're part of the problem. Such people know not how freedom is attained or how it is preserved. Men who do not hold the discipleship of their family as their highest calling and responsibility do not understand God's kingdom, and nor do they understand true liberty. They have not yet grasped it. Liberty has escaped them from understanding how it functions and works. Why invest time to train a toddler to sit still? Well, seems like a waste of time. Why exert the energy required to plan your strategy and then actually carve out regular time of your day to do something as silly as that? Unless you understand liberty, unless you understand what God has called you for, unless you understand that this is an absolute critical building block to the success in every area of life, because you're giving that toddler true liberty. You're training them in true liberty from the beginning. Yes, I want you to sit here. There's this little mat, you stay on that mat. And I train you to stay on that mat. Encourage you and self-government under God. That's what true liberty is. Why spend the effort to try and do all these things that we have been talking about for the last 14 sessions? Because God has spoken about these things and shown how our families are meant to function. And when we bring our thinking and acting into line with His Word, we will know true liberty and freedom in our families and in our nation. As we do that, so flows the whole nation. When the family life is chaotic and hedonistic, serving yourself, serving your latest lust and your latest pleasure, and the children are self-centered and unpleasant to be around, are those the building blocks for freedom? The modern world presents disrespect for authority and dishonoring others, whether your peers, whether people older than you or people younger than you, just disrespect for everybody. It either presents it as liberty or as irrelevant to the preservation of liberty. They don't see it. They don't see this as the destruction of liberty. They say, well, it's just how we act, but liberty is not threatened by this. As I'm saying, it's liberty has been completely undermined when we don't realize that we need to have these godly principles of honor, respect in our lives. Primarily, liberty flows from the new birth in Christ. But once you've been born again, we still need to know how to possess true liberty and how to preserve it. Our minds need to be renewed about these things, and that's part of what we've been studying and trying to apply to our circumstances. This is more like an overview of encouraging us to focus in on it and realize how important this topic is. Liberty has to do with living by every word from God's mouth. And the most fundamental unit or building block in God's kingdom is the family. Thus, if we don't secure liberty here, we lose it everywhere. If you make a weak fundamental building block, you lose the whole building. And this is the fundamental building block, the family unit. And unless we are securing it up there, we're going to lose the whole building. Why do we lose it everywhere? Because if fathers fail to turn their hearts to their children, and children don't turn their hearts to their fathers, if families are not instructed and discipled in the Lord's ways, then what develops is a perverse and a hard-hearted generation that cries out for God's wrath to be poured out upon them. So Malachi 4 and verse 6 is saying, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. If this does not take place, if the fathers don't turn their hearts and the children don't turn their hearts, this is what I'm going to do. And so that is a fundamental aspect of our existence as families and as a nation. What we've been trying to show in this series about the family industry reality, trying to show what it looks like when parents and children turn their hearts to the home. What does it actually look like? How does this look? How do we do it? How do we accomplish it? So this we've been trying to help. We sought to supply practical instruction as to how families might pursue the things that the Lord has emphasized. We need to understand what true liberty is and how significant our contribution is to the liberty of our nation when we turn our hearts to our children. I trust that seeing how important this work is in God's kingdom will encourage us to sacrifice for this direction. Because this is real kingdom work, and we can sacrifice and we should sacrifice. We should put our own ideas and things on the back burner and focus upon what God has said and sacrifice toward that end. Sacrificing now for future generations, that's what we have been called to do, and that is real kingdom work. It's how God has ordained His dominion to come and manifest itself and to bring much glory to Him. This is how He does it. When we fail in this critical task, we bring shame upon ourselves. When we fail to instruct and train in the appointed season, our families as they're being raised, then the time will come when we can no longer instruct about God's ways, which touch all of life. Proverbs 10 and verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. There's a family that's failed. There's a son sleeping in harvest. Now yes, we go back to God's sovereignty and His election, and we can fundamentally, we've seen this reason of training and instructing and focusing. There we see the failure of a family. Proverbs 17 and verse 21 says, he who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. No joy. There's another failed family. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. And Proverbs 29 verses 15 and 17, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. But that's not something that just happens by chance. It's not something that just happens without diligence, without planning, without self-sacrifice in laying down our time. Consider the two historical examples where fathers failed in their responsibilities. God says of Eli the high priest in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. A scary verse. He did not restrain them. And one to me that is more staggering is from King David. We read in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 6. about David's son Adonijah, whose scripture informs us, "And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, 'Why have you done so?'" Do you imagine that? Never rebuked him at any time. "Why have you done this, my son?" And then the context there is Adonijah's planning to overthrow his father and take the kingdom, just like Adonijah's brother. Can anyone guess what his name was? Absalom. David's failure in his instruction. Our wisdom for knowing how we are to glorify the Lord in our families is God's word, and that alone. And so may the Lord give us grace and wisdom so that we can faithfully bring our homes into line with the details of His revelation. And may we give ourselves to this task, knowing that His ways are the foundation of true liberty. Freedom cannot be separated from living in accordance and in obedience to God's words. Liberty is found nowhere else than in Christ, and to be in Christ is to love Him, which means doing all that He has commanded. This is where true liberty dwells. Tyranny or liberty are being sown in every home in the nation right now. Every single home in this nation is sowing seeds now of either tyranny or liberty. Think about that when you drive down the street tonight, on your way back. Every house you drive past, think seeds of tyranny and liberty are being sown in that home. I wonder what they are. You could probably have a pretty safe guess that the bigger proportion is on the tyranny side. But think about it even more when you park your car and you walk into your own home. You say, what seeds are being sown in this house? Tyranny or liberty? What seeds have you sown? And what are you waiting to harvest? May we be faithful in our days in laboring for true liberty. May the Lord give us great grace as we seek His word to sow the seeds that will produce true freedom and liberty. And may we pray and yearn for God to raise up a nation, a kingdom of priests who are doing that in their families and homes, and bring much glory to His name so that His dominion will be seen and His name exalted. So we have completed this series, The Family Industry Reality. Are there any questions on tonight's topic, or any comments or additions that somebody would like to put forth?